This is the Dr. Touch Podcast. Episode 20, Summer Pause. Between Apple's events, it's back to looking for interesting rumors out of Cupertino. And my guest on this show is Ken Sito, who made $100,000 in 4 months with iMockups on iPad. These are the news. Apple has begun testing 3 new devices, as can be seen if you disassemble the latest beta of the 4.1 SDK. Apparently, new devices cannot be activated via the iTunes production server, and so Apple apparently has a shortcut for certain device strings to skip activation altogether. The 3 devices are 2 minor updates to the current iPhone 4 and another one. Likely one of the iPhones will be a CDMA version that Apple bitterly needs to catch up to Android on the US carrier Verizon. Pundits are pretty certain about that, it will be CDMA. But they are less sure of what variant the 3rd iPhone 4 will be. Maybe 4G, also called LTE, which stands for long-term evolution. Another theory that I have is that it might be like an iPhone 4GS with a near-field communication antenna, so that you can use it as a key or to make wireless payments. Now, the 3rd device uses the same code as the iPad, and judging from the version number, it would be version 2 of the iPad. There's talk of a possible 7-inch iPad, but I don't really think that Apple would want to dilute their brand like this. It's more likely that the current iPad will become the cheaper version at like $200, and the iPad 2.0 will be the latest and greatest. An iPad with a Retina display would really be something, but to pull this off, the graphics power would have to be quadrupled. So, when will we see these devices hit the market? Sources tell us that in the past, new device IDs always appeared about half a year before launch. So if I'm calculating correctly, that would be end of January, or put differently, Q1 2011. Can't be wrong with that prediction. Deutsche Bank released a report that compares the global portable computing market share. This report holds 2 very interesting facts for us. One, the iPad apparently cannibalizes other manufacturers' netbook and notebook sales. They were growing steadily for at least a year prior to the iPad's launch. But when the iPad got released in Q1 2010, you can see all lines bending downwards, except MacBooks, which took off and crossed Acer to become number 2 in notebook market share. Two, if you add the sales of iPad to the category, it turns out that Apple is number 1 in mobile computing year-over-year unit growth. That's units, the number of devices sold, not the money being made. But as usual, a good info to know that you are betting on the right horse. Big names Capcom and BioWare are reported to be disappointed in their App Store income. Well, what do they expect? The experiments on the platform are not really innovative, reviews for the games are lukewarm. While it is true that a couple of companies like Gameloft are taking home the biggest portion of the App Store pie, small companies like Rovio show us that the new experience that plays to the unique strengths of the platform can be extremely successful. Actually, today I have somebody on the show who is living proof of this. Apple revamped iTunes Connect, specifically the app management pages. When they did that, they also disabled the previous method of uploading apps. From now on, you need to download and use a Mac app for that, the application loader, which is available for free from the website. Basically, you set up your app's marketing materials, and then, when you are ready to upload, you start the loader, select the app in the list box, and choose the zip file to upload. After there have been a lot of complaints about lacking security for iTunes accounts, Apple has silently introduced a new security feature. If you are accessing the iTunes account from a new device, you have to re-verify your payment info. This should make it less possible to create a multitude of accounts with the same credit card. For devices running iOS 1.13 up to 3.01, Apple relied on Skyhook Wireless to locate users in the absence of GPS data. In a response to federal legislators, Apple revealed that starting with 3.2 and above OS versions, they moved to their own database. Apple tries to build their own assets in the mapping and location services arena, maybe to become less dependent on Google. They purchased PlaySpace about a year ago, and last month they acquired small Canadian mapping firm Poly9. After lots of haggling, Apple finally reached an agreement with sellers of paper-based magazine subscriptions. The argument was about Apple insisting on their cut of 30% from apps, whereas magazines wanted to sell bundle subscriptions that would allow them to charge the users directly and have a free app to access their subscribed digital content. Apparently, this has been worked out, or rather, Apple seems to have given in. People magazine will be the first publication by Time Inc. to follow this model. With the new release of the operating system 4.0, we developers got a great deal of new toys to play with. One question we keep asking ourselves is, when do we reach the point that it makes business sense to release an app that requires 4.0 and above? Well, we're coming close to the tipping point. According to Chiquita, who sampled 9 million page views on the network, 4.0 has surpassed an adoption of 50% at the end of July. If you take into consideration that it had only been launched about a month before, that's an amazing adoption rate. If this keeps up, then I would say you can already plan your next iPhone-only app in 4.0. Only if you want to go hybrid, then you are still stuck with 3.2, as 4.0 remains notably absent for iPad. I hope they merge the version spec real soon, because this is kind of a pain. Google claims to be activating 200,000 Android headsets every day, but two studies show that the App Store is still the choice for the majority of mobile developers. Beginning of June, there have been around 43,000 iOS developers and around 10,000 Android developers, with 1,400 being cross-platform. The growth of Android must be a bit of headache for Apple, since it's obviously the lock-in with AT&T that's costing them lots of growth in the US. And I know from experience here in our small country of Austria that the exclusive contracts with number 2 and 3 of our cellular providers leaves number 1, Mobilcom, in the rain, i.e. selling Android and BlackBerry instead. There are other reasons why people like myself prefer the iOS platform. On the Android marketplace, you don't have a possibility to charge for apps in the majority of markets. It's not like with the App Store, where you can sell apps in every country that has been opened. And also, the customer mentality with Android handsets is, it's free, it's me pay, no way. And the funniest bit of news came last week. Oracle is suing Google to pinpoint and destroy Android, or more precisely everything that infringes on Oracle's rights in Java. Google had hoped to get around all licensing by creating their own Java implementation and compiler, but in Oracle's opinion, that still means they're using ideas Oracle owns. Owns because they purchased them in the form of Sun earlier this year. Pundits smile and suggest that Steve Jobs and Oracle CEO Larry Ellison are close friends, so Larry's doing Steve a big favor. It's expected that some companies might distance themselves from Android while the outcome of the lawsuit is open. Investing in Android is something of a business risk at the moment. Good for us Apple fanboys. And that's it for the news. As a special guest today, I've got Ken Sito, founder of Nloop Studios. He made quite a stir recently because with an app that he and his brother created, they made $100,000 in 4 months. And, well, I've got him on the show to tell us how he did it. Well, Ken, hi.
Hi there.
So it's my understanding that you founded Nloop Studios about 2 years ago. No, actually, before 2009, you told me you've been doing web development and consulting before that time. And 2 years ago, you decided to move into mobile applications exclusively. That brings me to one question. What do you think about, the strengthening of the Android marketplace? Is there something you you feel interested in, or are you exclusively sworn into the iOS platform?
Well, we're definitely keeping an eye on all the emerging platforms. So obviously, Android has gained quite a bit of steam, especially in the US. What we're waiting for right now before we make any kind of big jump is the metrics or the numbers to support, taking the time and effort to learn the ins and outs of Android development. So the numbers that I've seen from various reports don't quite match up to the same kind of numbers I'm seeing in terms of how much people are actually paying for apps, how many people are downloading paid apps versus free apps. So right now, the iOS marketplace, the Apple's App Store, has the better numbers right now for the number of downloads that people download paid apps. And that's really our target market. We tried a few free apps in the past, and you really have to have immense numbers to make a good revenue stream out of free apps. And so it's definitely much more of a hit-based economy. And I think our approach now is having the success of iMockups comes from more of a niche marketplace where you can sell paid apps to, for us, it's creative professionals who don't mind paying, just the $10 for a useful utility application.
Ah, okay. Well, speaking of revenue, that brings me to my first question, actually, the one that everybody's been interested in. How did you pull this off? $100,000, I think it was, you said, 4 months?
Yes.
So how in God's name is that possible?
Well, it's actually less impressive when you actually break down the numbers. I would say the key factors were timing, a bit of luck, and some strategic moves on our part, but I don't think we're geniuses or anything like that, far from it. So I believe, something like this can be repeatable, and we'll see when we put out our next app if we can do that again or not.
Well, now let's break this down.
Sure.
I'm so to speak the typical iPhone developer. I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm hearing two guys banter about ins and outs of the marketplace and so on. But I'm really interested in what are the steps that I would have to take to duplicate your success. Well, as an iPhone developer and being an Apple fanboy, I'm obviously smarter than everybody else. So a genius is okay. There. What do I need to do or to be or to kind of take care of that I can have a success like you? Are there some pointers that you would be able to give me?
Okay, well, I can start maybe at the beginning. When they first announced the iPad, mm-hmm. We were obviously very excited about the device. And I was already, despite what Apple was going on about the media consumption, watching movies and doing things like that on the iPad, I immediately saw productivity potential in that device. And I wanted to take advantage of the fact that not a lot of other people were talking about productivity. So that helped me stand out for sure, mm-hmm. To the blogs and to the press when we put out a 30-second demo video of iMockups. It really captured people's imagination, and we got a ridiculous amount of press from that simply because we had a slightly different story to tell than what everybody else was talking about, which was like having Time Magazine or the New York Times and other media consumption type applications. So it's definitely part of the fact that we stood out, and we had a fairly well done demo video that was only 30 seconds. So whenever I sent email to the press, I made sure to let them know that it was only going to take 30 seconds of the time to check out this video, mm-hmm. and it would explain everything to them, what iMockups was about. And that, I think that really worked. We had about 50,000 views of the iMockups video within the first week.
So I'm hearing two strategies here. First, see what the market is doing, and then see what it's not doing and focus on that. And the second thing I heard was don't take up too much time of reviewers. Give them something that they can immediately know what your app is about, and that's probably best done in a trailer for your app. Is that kind of summarizing it?
Yeah, I think having a video for your app is really key, especially a really short one that can explain. It doesn't have to explain everything about your app. It just has to capture their imagination. It just has to get them interested.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to have background music or speaker, or demo the app?
I just use something from GarageBand. Everybody, you know, GarageBand comes with when you buy a Mac. Free. So
yeah.
So it was just pick some loops, and I don't know. Maybe I have a hidden musical talent. I doubt it. I just put some loops together, and it sounded pretty good to me. And then I use that in my video.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But so, who did the coding for iMockup? Was that one of you guys, or was it hired help, or
how did the app came to be? My brother is the developer. My brother is the developer, and I guess I would be the business and creative guy.
So, that's strategy number three, meaning that you have one person focus and concentrate on the development, and one person taking care of the business and the marketing, right?
I think these days, if you want to do well on the App Store, I think, you know, unless you have an amazing idea that can sell itself, and that's definitely possible. Mm-hmm. You can take an idea that doesn't have to be super amazing, but if you have somebody who can help you do that marketing, do the positioning, get the copy and the app description reading well, and you know, it's a lot of homework. But if you've got somebody who can take care of that stuff, it can definitely help you sell your app, even if it's not like, you know, the best app in the world. It doesn't have to be.
So you and your brother treated this project as a full-time job for a couple of months.
We started thinking about the idea when they announced the iPad, and when we got that announcement that there was going to be a grand opening of the App Store just for the iPad, because we didn't know how that was going to play out. We immediately, you know, it lit a fire under our asses, so to speak, and said, okay, we want to be in that grand opening. So we, I'm not sure if my brother slept for that month and a half.
So full-time working is actually calling it less than what it really was. It was kind of the full life he invested for several months. So how much time you had?
Sorry, can you repeat that question? It's broken up a bit.
I was referring to the time that you spent. You didn't treat it as a full-time job, but actually you treated it as your life.
Basically. I mean, at that point, we had already quit our other consulting gigs, so we were doing full-time iOS development. But for that time up to the actual release of the iPad in the U.S., eat and breathe iMockups.
So that's, I think, probably wisdom number four, to do that exclusively, that you don't get sidetracked.
Yeah, definitely. And what was also really key to how we did with iMockups as well was our positioning and our target market. This really depends on the kind of app you're building. If you're building a game, then you know, you have to decide whether it's going to be a casual game or a more hardcore game. Mm-hmm. We were building a productivity tool, and our target audience was creative professionals and developers. So it's very niche, and you know, we assumed that niche market would not have that many problems, you know, paying a fair price for a useful tool. So I actually think our pricing, which we put at $9.99, which is in line with the other productivity apps that Apple was releasing, helped us gain, you know, decent revenue from the get-go. Just because, you know, when you're available in, say, 40, 60 countries with your app, even if half of those countries you only sell one copy per day, that's actually not a bad take per day for app revenue, compared to trying to sell hundreds and thousands of copies of a 99-cent app.
Well, speaking of lots of countries, what's your take on localization?
Well, we haven't done a very good job of that. For a few countries, we tried to do a translated app description, but I guess most of the translators that we try to use for free, they don't work very well. So we had some emails, you know, people laughing at us for our description. I don't blame them.
So how are you doing with German? Because that's my native language.
Well, actually, we had a guy who volunteered to translate our app description to for us because he, you know, he found the German one so funny.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, go ahead. Yeah, we'd love to have you do it. So we gave him a promo code for iMockups, and he did the German translation. So I don't know, how did it read to you?
Well, I didn't read it. I have to admit.
You have to give us some feedback after that.
Yeah, I need to get it.
Yeah. So read the English one and read the German one and let me know what you think.
Oh, I will.
I think we might look into getting a proper translation for the descriptions themselves, but iMockups is, there's hardly any text in it, so I don't think we need to really worry about localization within the app itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So wrapping up the price, I hear as one strategy to think of who is your target audience, and are these people that would be willing to at least pay something for your app and not be the crowd that wants to get everything for free.
Right.
There's one saying, people will always spend money to make money.
So if
you are the in the gold digger town, the company that sells the shovels, you will always be making money.
I guess that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
And I think we understood that because we were the same. We are our own target audience. So mm-hmm.
Eat your own dog food.
Yeah, exactly. So that certainly helped. If you understand yourself and what you're looking for, and if you're building an app for somebody like yourself, it's much clearer.
Was there a time when you designed iMockup with iMockup, maybe the new version that's coming out now?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Like Meta. Was iMockup ever used to design iMockup?
Sorry, you're breaking up again. Can you try that again?
Was iMockup ever used to design iMockup?
Oh, did I use iMockups to design iMockups?
Yeah, or maybe the newer version that's now coming out.
Oh, well, we didn't change the UI that much with a new version. But yes, I've used iMockups to try out different... I guess different designs for possible changes to the UI and things like that. So yeah, it's a we actually have a mock-up inside iMockups that's just for fun. I made a mock-up of iMockups making a mock-up of iMockups.
yeah, that's the meta that I was talking about. So yeah. Is there anything at the top of your mind that you might give us an advice to, like a single person iPhone developer who's developing a bit at the side and thinks, well, what could I do to do this full time? Is there anything that you have on the tip of your tongue?
Well, I would say don't worry if the first app you try doesn't really succeed, because it's actually a tough market. So don't treat that as a discouragement. Treat that as a lesson learned in terms of, you know, as long as you really examine, you know, what you were doing and how much response you got regarding from blogs and things like that. Even if you made a couple of I guess, a couple of blogs write about you, that's a relationship you can use going forward. And everything you do can, you know, you can learn from that experience and do better next time. As for app ideas, you know, everybody's got their next big, great app idea, but it's all in the execution. So pay attention to especially what Apple is doing. Pay attention to what Apple is promoting in their devices. So it's obvious if you're just starting now, think about what's in the iPhone 4, what cool new features Apple's put in there and what they would like to highlight, right? I think if you're just starting off, that's a great way to start is to kind of ride Apple's own marketing, because they're going to pay attention when you do something that helps them promote what they want to promote.
Okay, I think our time is running out because you need to go then. Let me find a wrap up for our great conversation. Is there anything you can tell us about the future of Nloop Studios? What great things are coming from you that we'll be able to purchase soon?
Well, we have a new productivity app that we're working on right now. I can't talk anything about it yet.
Oh, secret, right.
It's secret for now. Hopefully in a few more weeks, I can have something to show, and we'll show it on our blog, and maybe we'll be able to talk about it a little bit more then. But in the meantime, we're waiting for the latest version of iMockups to be approved. It's a really big one. It's got a whole new look and feel. Mm-hmm. We've named the new theme Magnum, based on Zoolander. and the other big feature is it has an export to Balsamiq mockups, which is a very popular desktop mockup tool, which a lot of people who do wireframing and mockups and developers love to use that tool. So this will let you continue your iMockups experience beyond the iPad if you want to do so.
Mm-hmm. Does this work both ways? Getting the Balsamiq? Ah, okay. So I sit in the park and make my iPhone mockups, and then when I get into the office, I transfer it to Balsamiq and continue there.
Exactly, you can do that for sure, and you can share it with your other friends who are unfortunate enough not to have an iPad.
All right. So the final piece of advice that you would probably want to give the fledgling iOS developer is, if he gets approached by somebody with an app idea, tell this person, get iMockups first, sketch out the app, and then talk to me about getting it made.
Sure, that's a good way to go.
All right. Yeah, listen, Ken, it was great talking to you. Thank you for having the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
And, well, I'm looking forward to seeing what comes from Nloop Studios in the future.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. So there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth, how you make $100,000 in 4 months. Now let's go do that.